get your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27. I'm going to need your help this morning. I'm going to teach you something, and it's going to have more of a doctrinal flair to it, although it will have a very practical application. Matthew chapter number 27. Once you find Matthew 27, I want you to find verse number 50 and then stand with me if you would please. Matthew 27, we're going to look at verse number 50, and I'm going to read verse 50 and 51. I'm going to refer to many other scriptures to you this morning. The sermon this morning is called Rent in Twain. Rent in Twain. The Bible says in Matthew 27, verse number 50, it says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. We're going to find out about those three words, rent in twain. Those three little words are far bigger and far more important to us than what we realize. Again, I'll need you to pay attention on purpose. I'll need you to sit still and just listen real carefully. I want to show you something from the Bible that all Christians ought to understand about those three words. Let's pray. Father, I need your help. The sermon, a little more teaching this morning than normal. I know, Lord, there are many, many young Christians in this place, only saved a week or two, maybe saved during the fall program. And therefore, our attention is not disciplined. So I pray, God, that you will reach down with thy Spirit and help us, Lord. Help us to do our part, but we need a little extra guidance and help from you today. Bless us as we learn this important lesson. May Jesus be exalted as a result of this church service today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. God had delivered the people of Israel from a bondage in Egypt. And at Mount Sinai, God gives Moses the law of God, instructions of a thing called the tabernacle. I'll explain a little more about that. The purpose of this tabernacle was to allow God to dwell among his people and for them to be close to him and him to be close to them. Let me read something to you. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And so God said, I want us to put together this thing called a tabernacle, and it's because I want to be close to you and I want you to be close to me. The tabernacle, it's a very unique thing. It had three parts. Don't talk, but listen, look right this way. The tabernacle had three parts to it, or if I may, three components. You had the outer courtyard, then you had they called it the holy place, and then they had what was called the Holy of Holies. I was thinking about this early this morning, trying to help you. I wanted you to understand it, and let me explain it like this. The courtyard would almost be like our entryway out there. Then you would go from the courtyard into the holy place, which would be the auditorium. Then inside the auditorium or inside the holy place was a place called the Holy of Holies. We have an additional room right here. It's our baptistry room. Separating those two was a curtain that they called a veil. So you had the courtyard where you entered. You would come into the holy place, the auditorium. There was within the holy place an exceptionally holy place called the Holy of Holies. That's this baptistry room. Separating the two was this curtain they called the veil. Now, you have an idea of the way that this thing called the tabernacle was put together. Sometimes they called it the tent. It was called the sanctuary, but it was called the tabernacle. It was 150 feet long and 75 feet wide. The outer courtyard was simply described as kind of a fenced area, but the fence was made out of like a tent fabric. So it wasn't made of wood or it wasn't a chain link fence. It was a tent fabric for that little outer courtyard. You enter the courtyard from one end, Now, let me explain something to you so you understand. The entire tabernacle was all pointing toward the work of Jesus Christ. And I know that if you ever get into trying to study it without just a little bit of help, it can become a little confusing. But it's all about Jesus. Remember, you entered the courtyard. That's that entryway out there. You came into this second compartment, our auditorium area. It was called the Holy Place. Now, the courtyard didn't have a roof over it, but this place, the Holy Place, the auditorium, it had a roof over the top of it. And then remember the third compartment, which was the Holy of Holies, it was a room inside a room, just like this baptistry room is for us. The material that was in between the Holy Place and the Holy of Holies, they called it the veil. It was a curtain, a very thick curtain. Let me read to you something about that curtain. The Bible says, "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen of cunning work with cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the thatches. And thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you the holy place and the most holy." Okay, so this is the holy place. The most holy place, also called the Holy of Holies, is back there. And that veil was to separate the two. Now, in the courtyard out there, our foyer, our entryway, if you will, there were some things that you would find in the tabernacle. There was a thing called a brazen altar. Don't let the word brazen bother you. It's just an altar. It's where they would make a sacrifice. Okay? Then there was a laver. In our modern day vernacular, that's a sink. There was a wash tub, if you will. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to make it in terms that you can understand. So out there in the courtyard, there was a place where they could give a blood sacrifice. There was also a place where the priest could wash his hands, wash his feet. So there was a little laver, a little bowl that had water in it. Then you would leave that outer courtyard, come in to this, the auditorium, if you will, or the holy place. And there were some things in this part of the tabernacle. There was a thing called the table of showbread. You say, what was that? It was a table that had bread on it. Okay? It was a table that had bread on it. You say, what did it represent? The Word of God. Because you ever heard the old devotional called Our Daily Bread? Okay, the Word of God is compared to bread. We had a Sunday school lesson about that just a couple of weeks ago. So there was a table there, and it had what they called showbread on it, and it was it was bread that represented the Word of God. There was an altar of incense. Now, it's just an altar. It had incense on it. And what that did is that little incense place pictured our prayer life. Our prayers to God are to be a sweet-smelling savor. In other words, we're to pray to God, and when we do, that smells good in the nostrils of God. Okay? So, when you came in to the second area, the holy place, you would see that table of bread. You would see some incense. Bread pictured the Word of God. Incense pictured our prayer life. And then there was a candlestick there. You say, what was the candlestick there for? For a light. That's what candles are for. But I want you to remember something. That light pictured the Holy Spirit of God, the illumination of what the Holy Spirit of God would do in a Christian life. Okay? So don't forget, you've got the outer courtyard. And in that courtyard, there was an altar for a sacrifice, and in that courtyard, there was a place to wash the hands. And you would come into the holy place, and when you would get in here, there was a place where there was bread, there was some incense, and there was a candle, and it pictured the Word of God, it pictured prayer, and it pictured the Holy Spirit shedding light on things for us. Then, that third room, this one back here, called the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, back in there, that's where God stored the thing that is called the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. It was, they would have called this the dwelling place of God. Really, it's where the priest met with God. And so, back in this place called the Holy of Holies, One of the ways for me to describe it to you is the mercy seat, if you will. We'll just say that was kind of like God's throne here on earth, and it pictured God's presence. And I could say it a lot of different ways, but wherever that Ark of the Covenant was and that mercy seat was, that pictured where God was. And God chose to put it behind that curtain and in that little room, if you will. Now, I want you to understand, back then, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. Now, other people could go into the courtyard, and other people could come into the holy place, but only one could go past this curtain into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest. He went in once a year. He went in on what they called the Day of Atonement. He had to enter through that curtain called the veil. He would climb under that veil to go in. I'll tell you what they did. That's where God was. And so you understand, when the high priest went in to where God was, he had to make sure he was right with God. Because if he was not right with God when he went in there, he'd die. That's one reason why that laver was out there, that bowl with water. He was to wash his hands and wash his feet. It pictured him getting himself cleaned up before he met with God. Could I recommend to all of you, you get yourselves cleaned up? But he was told, he said, you gotta get yourself cleaned up. Then he would walk through the auditorium, going into the baptistry through the veil. But this is what they would do. They would tie bells to his garment. And so on the high priest's garment on the Day of Atonement, he had bells. And these bells, you say, what were they for? Well, when he was going into the Holy of Holies, only one person could go in there. And when he would go in there, remember, if he didn't have himself clean, he could die from going in there being unclean. So the bells were on there. So you could hear the bells ring. It meant the high priest was still alive. That's a good plan. Because I don't want to go in and drag him out. And we can't just leave him in there. They also did this. They tied a rope to his ankle. You say, why? Well, they tied a rope to his ankle and bells to his garment, because if he went in there and died and he stopped ringing, they'd say, pull the rope! Got another dead one. And though I am simplifying it, that's exactly how it happened. So, let me go on. Nobody but the high priest could go into that Holy of Holies. And here's what was happening. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies representing all of the people. And that pictures Jesus Christ. Some of you have heard scripture. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Now, I'll see if I can take you on the high priest journey. It's the Day of Atonement, okay? So he enters the courtyard. He goes to that altar. There is bloodshed at that altar. He's in the courtyard. He washes his hands and his feet. He's got the blood from a lamb. He's bringing that blood into the holy place, into this auditorium. That blood of that lamb pictured the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that one day in the future would be shed. Remember, he walked past that bowl of water, washed his hands, washed his feet. He came into this holy place. He looked over. There's the candle, the Holy Spirit of God, illuminating or lighting that place. He looked over at that bread and was reminded of the Word of God. The altar of incense, it represented communication between man and God. He comes over to the Holy of Holies. He's got the blood from that sacrifice. He goes underneath that veil. His bells are ringing. Somebody's got a hold of the rope. He goes in. He places that blood on that mercy seat. He goes down, and that the mercy seat would have been a it is like a big fancy ornate box. Had gold and cherubims, but don't let any of that confuse you. He just goes in there with that blood. He's beyond this veil. He's back in here, and he puts that blood on that mercy seat. That's what he did. The priest would sprinkle that shed blood on the mercy seat, signifying that the sins of the people would be covered by the blood of the Lamb for another year. Now, you sing about it all the time, and you don't realize it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That all pictured that lamb's blood out in the courtyard coming into the holy place, into the Holy of Holies, blood put on the mercy seat. It pictured the covering of sin for the people in that generation. Now, we're back to the scripture that I read to you earlier from Matthew 27. In Matthew 27, it says this in the New Testament. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. From the top to the bottom. Huh. The Bible says, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. What does it mean? This veil was one solid piece. Now, you see, my curtain has, it's got different parts to it here. But in the Bible, that veil was one solid piece. He had to crawl under it to get into it. But the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was rent in twain. In other words, it was tore in half. God reached down from heaven and he tore that thing. He tore it in half. He separated it. He opened it up. Let me read this to you. The Bible says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now, there's a reason why. Sometimes we glibly hear that and we don't understand it. And we didn't understand a lot about the tabernacle, so it kind of didn't matter to us. But let me tell you something. It's a big deal. It's a real big deal that it was rent in twain. You say, what did God do? God reached down with his invisible hand and he tore that curtain in half. I mean, it's just like he popped that thing open and he had a reason for doing that. The curtain was ripped in two. Now, in the next few minutes, so you all know, the introduction is about the same length as the sermon. So that's the introduction. Now, I want you to understand why the Bible says that veil was rent in twain. And this is good for me, and this is good for you. First of all, the veil being rent in twain pictures Jesus being broken or torn for our sakes. Jesus was broken so we would have access to God. Jesus was torn so we could get ourselves to God. Remember, who's back there? Well, that represented God. And that veil, if you will, distanced people from the God that was behind the curtain. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus said, he said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The crucifixion of Christ pictured Jesus being tore in twain for us. In other words, Jesus got tore up to give us access to the God that is holy, that was in the Holy of Holies. Folks, you all do understand, if it were not for Jesus Christ, you would never get to God. And when it talks about that curtain being tore, it was tore for your sake and my sake so that we could get to God. It pictures Jesus purchasing our access to God. His death reunites you and God. But you had to come through the tearing that took place. Who was tore? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. So the veil being rent in twain pictures Jesus being broken or torn for our sakes. But not only that. The veil was rent in twain because God wants to be with you. That veil, the curtain, that makeshift door, it created a bit of separation between God and man. But God wanted to be reunited with man. Did you know that veil was God's idea? But wait, Christ's death was God's idea. Christ's burial was God's idea. Christ's resurrection was God's idea. When God said, we're going to tear that veil in twain, God was saying, I've got an idea. I want to be close to man, and I want man close to me, and it's going to cost something. And the veil was rent in twain. It cost God, His Son, to get you close to God. God wanted to be with you. And if you were alive in the Old Testament days, I'm sure there were all sorts of people, if they got to come in the courtyard, and I can picture it. If I had come in the courtyard, I'd be looking all over the place, and I'd think, wow, this courtyard's really nice. Hi, Earl. I like that courtyard. And then if you let me come in here into the holy place, I'd be looking around and I'd be looking at the bread and the candle and everything. Then I'd look at that veil and I'd think, wow, what's back there is incredible. I mean, it's not all about just that bread or that candlestick. It's all about what's back there. That's where I'd like to be. I don't want to be stuck in the courtyard. I wouldn't want to just be right in here in this holy place. You know where I'd like to be able to go? I'd like to be able to get right back here, right where the action's at. I'd like to be where God is. Now, when the veil was rent in twain, God knew that He wanted to be close to man. And so God had that veil rent in twain when Jesus died to picture the fact that God was trying to make it so He could be closer to man. God took His invisible hand when Jesus died. He tore that curtain. And basically, I think God said, okay, come on. Come on. Come on, human race. Come on. Nothing's got to stop you. We've got it all cared for. Jesus died. He was buried. Hey, you, come on, human race. Get born again. That's why that veil was rent in twain. God wanted to be reunited with man. So, it pictures Jesus being torn to get us to God. The veil being rent in twain pictures God wanting to be with us. But not only that. That veil being torn in half, it makes it so we can go directly to God without the help of anybody else. Without the help of anybody else. You remember that high priest, he went in representing everybody. Really, that high priest was a picture of Jesus Christ. But listen to this. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. You know what this means? If I want to get to God, I don't have to have anybody help me get there. I get to go directly to God. No longer did they need that mediator, that priest. I think he pictured the coming Messiah anyway, but God wanted you to have direct access to Him. You're one of His children. And I think He wanted His children to have dad benefits. For many, many years, when my counseling line before and after church would get lengthy, I'd go to my office and at right after a church service, and if people wanted to ask me a question or get some counsel or an appointment, they'd come by my office, and there'd be a line of people. You'll probably think this an exaggeration. There've been times when there's 40, 50 people in that line. And I would be at church for 2 hours after a service just having a quick appointment or helping people. But you know something I told my children when they were little? I said, if you ever need dad after church, And there's a big long line at my office. You just get all the way to the front of the line where I can see you and I'll get you right in. You say, why? Those are my kids. And can I tell you something? If you're a born again Christian, you get in the front of the line. Hey, a born again Christian, when the veil was rent in twain, it was God saying, hey, kids, come get in the front of the line. You don't have to go through the priest and you don't have to go through somebody else. Come see me. Now, folks, I'd love to be able to help you with every little item that comes up in your life and I'll serve you the best I can and meet all your needs that I can possibly need. But can I tell you something? You have access to God. You can get to the very same God that I can get to. And when the veil was rent in twain, God was making it so Christians, they don't need help from anybody to get to God. God wanted you to have direct access. When you pray, you can go straight to the top. There's no need for a human middle man. God wants you to bring your need to Him and on your own. So when the veil was rent in twain, it was a picture of Jesus being torn to give us direct access to God. It was also a picture of God wanting to be near us. It also pictured us not needing help from anybody else to get to God. But not only that, when that veil was rent in twain, it makes it so that you can help others to know that they can go directly to God. What a wonderful benefit. You and I as Christians, we can tell others that they've got this same thing available to them. They too can go directly to God. And I'm not here to talk to attack false religion today, but I am going to tell you something. There are religions out there that say you can't go directly to God. You got to come through the church or the church hierarchy, or you have to come through a rabbi or a priest or a preacher or whoever. You got to come through us to get to God. Fooey on that mess. I don't have to come through anybody. I get to go straight to God. And that's what Jesus made available to me. I'll tell you the story, and you've heard me tell it before. There's a man that had been in Catholicism all of his life. And he had gotten saved. And he got a Bible. And the priest saw it. And the priest said, listen, what you got that Bible say? He said, well, I got saved. And the priest said, listen, the Bible, that's what they call the milk of the word. And the priest said, but you got to understand, I'm the milkman. So you're going to get your milk through me. And you know what this guy told him? He said, no, sir, I done got my own cow. Can I tell y'all something? You can get something directly from God. You can go directly to God. You don't need a middleman. You don't need a middleman. Now, thank God for the people in our life that direct us toward God. But when that veil was rent in twain, it makes it so you and I can say to others, look, you don't have to go through a church. You don't have to go through a religious organization. You don't have to go through a priest or a rabbi or a preacher. You get to go directly to God. I love telling others that we're allowed to have a personal relationship with God. What a selling point for Christianity. Hey, but not only that. When the veil was rent in twain, it promotes the fact that God has now let you and I become like priests. Priests. Jesus was the high priest, but we get to be like priests. Do you know the priest? He got to get around that altar of incense. What is that? Prayer, communication. You know something? I get to be like a priest, if you will, in my salvation. I get to go into the holy place. I get to meet with God, and I get to pray direct to God, like the priest would. Did you know that I can confess my own sins? Can I tell you all something? Now, I think if I hurt you or you hurt me, the Bible teaches we ought to confess our faults one to another. I mean, if I hurt you, I ought to say I'm sorry. And if you hurt me, we ought to say we're sorry. But can I tell you who you get to confess your sins to? Not me. Confess your sins to God. But Pastor, should I come to you and confess? No. You better go confess to God. Can I go straight to Him? Absolutely. And I'm sure glad of that, because I dead sure wouldn't want to tell you everything that's wrong with me. You say, why? Because you'd probably want to tell me everything that's wrong with you, and that'd be even worse. I get to go directly to God with my confession. I get to go directly to God with my prayer. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, you remember in that holy place there was the candle light, there was that candle, and it represented the Holy Spirit. Did you know something? Did you know the Holy Spirit will speak to you and through you? It's just not for the priest. Now, I think there are some people that misunderstand something. You come to the church and you would expect that the pastor would have the power of God on his life. And you would expect that the pastor would have the Holy Spirit of God working in his life. Hey, and I'm glad for you to feel that way. But it's not just because I'm the pastor. I get access to the Holy Spirit because I am a Christian. But wait a minute. The very same Holy Spirit that lives within me lives within you. You should have the power of the Holy Spirit on you. And you should walk in the Spirit. It's not just for the priest, if you will. When that veil was rent in twain, God said, I'm opening up the Bible to everybody, and I'm opening up prayer to everybody, and I'm opening up the power of God to everybody. It doesn't just have to be the priest that represents. It is now open. And he said, come on, let me get with you through the Bible. Let me answer your prayers. You come confess your sin directly to me. I won't be judgmental like the human race. You come on to me. You just get straight to me. You don't have to go through somebody else. Thank God the veil was rent in twain. I'm sure glad. You say, I didn't even know anything about it, but now I'm glad. Well, I'm glad you're glad. Because it's important. Do you know that laver, that was the wash tub? You can wash yourself. And kids, you ought to wash yourself. I don't know if dirt gravitates behind the ears, but moms always say, did you wash behind your ears? I have no idea why they ask that. Well, but maybe we need to have a behind-the-ear inspection this morning to see if it's true. But can I tell you something? Did you know that laver out there and the veil being rent in twain was a picture of the fact that you and I can go to Him for our daily cleansing and He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. You can claim the blood of Jesus Christ and you have access to the power that's in that blood without anybody's help. I hope you know this. I think we need the New Testament church. I think we need fellowship. I think we need each other. But I tell you, you could be a good Christian all by yourself. You could be a good Christian all by yourself. You could get something out of the Bible without anybody's help. You could get things from God without anybody's help. You could get guidance from God without anybody's help. Now, you may not, but you could. You say, why? Because the veil was rent in twain and God said, come on and try me. Let me show you. Let me truly become your God. Let me show you what I can really do. Let me become powerful and real and close in your life. It's yours. Say, but Brother Owens, I'm a brand new Christian. Doesn't matter. That veil was rent in twain for every born-again believer, whether you've been saved a day or you've been saved 100 years. Brother Knopfinger. It was a good day for me, Brother Dave, when I realized the God of my forefathers, He was my God. It was a good day for me when I would listen to great Bible scholars and I'd hear them teach the Bible and I'd hear them preach. And one day it occurred to me, I've got the same Bible. I've got the same Bible and I can preach the same truths. It was a good day for me when I realized the Holy Ghost of God that had rested on my forefathers was available to me. And when that veil was rent in twain, God was saying, I want to be close to you. I'm making myself available to you. You know, hey, you've got a direct line to God. You've got a direct line to God in the Bible, a direct line to God in prayer, a direct line to God in the Holy Spirit. He said, my power is available to you. Now, I don't know how many of you are taking advantage of it. For some of you, I'm wondering if your mind, the curtain is still closed. You have access to God, but you don't do anything about it. You have cleansing available. You don't do anything about it. You've got the Word of God available, the showbread, but you don't do anything about it. You could get prayers answered,
But you don't, and the primary reason is because you don't pray. You could be close to God, but there are some of you, we can't get you into the church. We barely get you into the vestibule. But some of you, you are so far-fetched, you're not even come around the tabernacle to let God help you.
Those words are so simple. The veil was rent in twain. To me, those are powerhouse words. God was making Himself available to undeserving man. If I were you, I'd take advantage of that. If you're here today and you're not saved, Jesus died for you. He was buried for you. He was resurrected for you. Do you know you could get saved today and have this wonderful access directly to God? Hey, and might I tell you this also? Nobody else is going to save you. Only Jesus saves. He's the door to salvation. I'll read the verse. We'll pray. And we'll approach the end of the service. The Bible says, Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Quick question. Are you saved? If you're not born again, I want to challenge you to be saved. The blood that was shed on that altar, picture the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're not born again, you need to get born again. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I'm not born again. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? I'm not saved. God bless you. I see that hand. Somebody else, you say, I'm not born again. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Good. I see that hand. In a moment, we'll have an altar call. If you'd like to be saved, if you'll come, I'll have someone, without embarrassing you, I'll have someone take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Hey, Christian, what's the holdup? You have direct access to God in prayer, in your Bible, with the Holy Spirit, with the power that's in the blood. Why do we live our lives as if that veil was never opened? Let's take advantage of the closeness that's available. Who here today would say, Pastor, God has challenged me. Oh, maybe God's even convicted me some about the access that I have to my loving God and me taking advantage of that access. He's spoken to me. I need that. I need to get closer to Him. And thank God He made it available. But God has spoken to my heart about that very thing this morning. Would you raise your hand, hands up all over the place? God bless you. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. In a moment, we're going to stand. And if you need to mount this altar, I wish you'd come. Just take a moment. Say, God, I need to take advantage of that closeness. Rachel's going to play at this moment. Let's stand up. Everybody standing, if you will. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are a Christian and you say, you know something, I really don't take advantage of that closeness. I really don't take advantage of what's available to me in the Word of God. I don't take advantage of what's available to me in prayer. I really don't take advantage of what's available to me in the Holy Spirit. The illumination of understanding of the Word of God. Brother Edwards, salvation right there, please. If I have a male soul winner, I need one over here. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are saved, let me challenge you. The veil was rent in twain. God was making it so you could get directly to God in prayer, in Bible reading, in regard to the Holy Spirit of God. The power that's in the blood, it's all ours. It's all available to us. I hope you'll take advantage of it. Brother Elswick, do we need other name takers? We got them. Great. Thank you. As the piano continues to play, it won't be long. We'll tell you about some people that are getting saved. We're going to have an offering for the building, but before that happens, some of you ought to stop and thank God that that little statement's in the Bible, that curtain got tore in half, picturing Jesus Christ paving the way for us to have direct access to God. I'm glad I don't have to go through another man to get saved. I'd be afraid he'd mess it up. When that curtain was torn, it pictured Jesus being torn for our sake. When that curtain was torn in half, pictured God wanting to be with us. It pictured us being able to come to God without the help of another. Made it so that we can help others to understand. They go directly to Him. It virtually lets us become like a priest, where we can pray, where we can understand the Bible, where we can have the Holy Spirit. A simple picture of the tabernacle, its function and its purposes. The Holy of Holies.